Today, we are pleased to be joined on the line right now by Chris Warkentin, the Member of Parliament for Grand Prairie. I guess, first of all, sir, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
Happy to do so.
All right. Main thing we want to talk about here is we saw the federal government come out with their budget the other day, and some interesting things coming out of that, particularly the projected deficit of $78 billion, which seems to have raised quite a few people's eyebrows out there. I guess,
yeah.
First of all, kind of what's some of the your take on some of the things coming out of the budget there?
Isn't it unbelievable? After promising Canadians that this guy was going to fix what Justin Trudeau broke, that he was going to fix the budget, that he was going to make life more affordable for Canadians, we see this budget that is so out of touch, like so out of touch with the realities of Canadians. To have a deficit that is pretty well twice what Justin Trudeau brought last year, at a time when Canadians so desperately need a government that's going to unleash the economy, this government is pouring on more debt, more deficit, more encumbrances on Canadians, which is going to lead to higher taxes. Obviously, there's a number of higher taxes that are announced in this budget, but we know that with this type of overspending, this type of deficit, there's no question that taxes will have to rise in the years to come to sustain this level of deficit and debt. The results of this is now every dollar that people pay in GST and PST across the country now goes to paying just the debt servicing, just the interest on the debt. So what was used in the past to support things like healthcare and infrastructure and other government programs now is all used for paying the interest on the credit card, the government's credit card. This is a horrible reality for Canadians. Obviously, now we see the numbers in black and white. We're paying more in debt servicing to banks and bond holders than we are paying to in health transfers. It just demonstrates that a government that overspends year after year after year, and now with this completely out of touch budget, we are now in a position where the deficit and the debt financing is going to be an incredible burden, not only for this generation, but the generations to come.
One point you mentioned there was on infrastructure, and this has been a lot of people seem to be focused on. We know the federal government a little while back announced the major projects office for big infrastructure and those sorts of things. I don't think they've had too much particularly for Alberta or the West or that as of yet. But I guess optimistic for some big things happening on infrastructure.
Well, this budget was pushed off months and months. Usually a budget is in the spring. This one's now in the fall. The promise was to Canadians that they were going to get all of these types of things in place so that they could announce them at the budget. There was going to be a plan for infrastructure and large projects across the country. Obviously, there was anticipation that that would mean a pipeline to the West Coast. During the election, Mark Carney promised that he was going to be the guy that would wean off our dependence on the United States markets and open up international markets. Included in this budget was supposed to be an infrastructure plan that would reorient our trade relationships through things like an energy corridor, like mass improvements to ports and different things that would see those new markets be available to Canadian producers. So ports on the West and the East Coast, pipeline to the West Coast, none of which was announced in this budget. It is a clear betrayal of what Mark Carney said. And that is, none of those things are announced, and yet he's still bringing forward a budget that has a deficit that's twice what Justin Trudeau's was. This is completely a missed opportunity. It was a once in a lifetime opportunity to make some significant investments that were going to lead to a transformation of the Canadian economy and wean our dependence on the United States. None of that has done. As a matter of fact, much of what is included in the budget will require that we depend more on the United States. And yet this prime minister refuses to get a deal done with the United States, a trade deal, even though he promised that he would have that done by this last summer.
A lot of people in Alberta have been particularly interested on the federal government to plan to put a cap on oil and gas emissions. Now, there has been some things coming out of the budget suggesting that, well, maybe there could be some things that could happen that could potentially get rid of that cap if different technologies prove to be effective. But are you, I guess, kind of holding your breath on that, on the, some movement happening on that front?
Well, I think we have to be frank about what he is suggesting in that. Essentially, what the Prime Minister is suggesting is that if Canadian taxpayers subsidize our energy companies and build a huge carbon storage facility, which the taxpayer would be on the hook for generations to come, that somehow he would lift the encumbrances on the cap. He's also included in this budget an escalating carbon tax for industry. So effectively, the energy sector, the forestry sector, the automotive sector, all of the manufacturing sectors, farming, and so forth, will now be under this new rising carbon tax for industry. So all of which will be a negative impact on any kind of development or announcement of new projects. The industry is saying that even if the cap is lifted on energy production, but they include this escalating industrial carbon tax, there is no way that there's going to be a project that's going to be built in this country, even if the taxpayer is on the hook for billions in subsidies to a carbon capture and storage facility here in Alberta. This I believe is smoke and mirrors. It's on one hand, he's saying that he'll possibly lessen this cap, but he's going to create a tax system and a barrier to entry that would be so onerous that no industry will invest in the province of Alberta in the energy sector. And that is what people are coming to grips with as they read the fine print of this budget. There's a lot of doublespeak. There's promises on one end, but encumbrances on the other, really hampering our industry in ways that our competitors are not hampered. There's no such thing of any of these things in the United States. There's no such thing in any of the competing nations that we compete with, not in any major oil industrial country in the world. It's really completely hamstringing our industry at a time when we need to unleash our industry so we can compete for the new opportunities around the world. The United States is building LNG projects right, left, and center, and as they do that, it limits the opportunity in the future for Canada to access new markets, because the United States will have accessed those markets before we can get there. This is every month that passes that we're not building this new infrastructure and getting these things off the ground is really an opportunity for us to be left behind for another generation, which is devastating news and, quite frankly, a complete betrayal of what Mark Carney promised during the last election.
One point we mentioned earlier was on the trade front. Certainly tariffs are a big factor in that. We have seen over the last little while some increases on from the U.S., tariffs on softwood lumber, certainly an effect on the forestry industry in our region. We also have seen some agriculture products having tariffs on them, like the canola from China, for example, and whatnot. Now, what are kind of some of the concerns you have about all these tariffs out there affecting some local industries like forestry and agriculture and those sorts of things?
It's a devastating reality. Every time that the Prime Minister gets on a plane and goes to another country, he seems to come back with a increased tariff on commodities that are impacting, especially Western Canada. We're seeing not only when it comes to the United States, but this Prime Minister is impacting our trade relationships in places like India, which is an expanding and an important market for Canada. Obviously, the Chinese market, we're seeing it in the United States, and now we're hearing that there's a possibility of increased tariffs in other countries as well, as this Prime Minister continues to I'm not sure what it is about him, but every place that he goes, he comes back and these countries raise their tariffs against Canadian commodities. Quite frankly, our view is that this Prime Minister needs to quit flying around and frustrating other countries to the point where they'll increase our tariffs on commodities that we so desperately need to sell around the world as an exporting nation. And he needs to do some heavy lifting here in Canada to make sure that we have the best, most competitive and advantageous access to markets around the world. Unfortunately, he has failed to do that. He's made things far worse than even Justin Trudeau had them. And this is in the context of a guy who promised that he could get all of these deals done, that he would be better than anybody else in getting trade deals. I think he has Canadians providing, you know, giving him some sympathy when dealing with Donald Trump. But now we're seeing this consistent reality in other countries as well. Not just in with the United States, we're seeing this frustration with this prime minister from other countries as well that are impacting industry. And quite frankly, this has to stop because Canadians frankly can't afford this. And fundamentally, we need those access to new markets and to existing markets. There's no way that the government can subsidize or bail out every industry in this country right now.
There were some interesting things coming out of that recently. Chris Borkinson, Member of Parliament for Grande Prairie, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks so much, Kyle.